Our fourth reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Well, good evening, everybody. My name's Phil. I'm the Associate Vicar here, and you are in very fine voice. Slightly fewer of us than there are at five, but I would say every bit is loud. Wonderful. Well done, you. Well done, you. It's got nothing to do with the fact that some of you were at the pub beforehand. Of course, of course, of course. Now, there's been some good news this week, which we all need at this time of year. I'm not sure if you caught it, but Martin Lewis... You know Martin Lewis, the Mr. Money-Saving Expert, the most trusted man in Britain. We trust him, apparently, even more than we trust politicians. Who knew? But Martin Lewis has done some calculations about the cost of having the Christmas tree lights on. And it's good news. Do you know how much it probably costs you to have your Christmas tree lights on through the festive period? Well, due to low electricity usage, LED bulbs, it'll probably be somewhere between 44 pence and £1. Not per day, but for the whole period. Ooh. Even those tacky arrivists who've had their trees up since early November, you know who you are, they're unlikely to break £2. What a bargain. Which means that there is just no reason at all not to go all out and turn your house into this. If only I lived there. I mean, your neighbours will love you. Go on, give it a go. Now, we like light in the darkness. We like Christmas lights. Why? Because light in the darkness is a symbol of hope. Light in the darkness is a symbol of hope. And when John came to write his account, his eyewitness account of the life of Jesus, which we just had a reading from, he summarized the message of Christmas in this way. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I want to spend just a couple of minutes exploring that idea. Just two things for us to think about, really. Firstly, the darkness is real. And secondly, the light is stronger. The darkness is real. Now, John was an eyewitness to the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And when he came to write his account of Jesus' entry into the world as the baby that first Christmas, the way he described it was a light coming in to a world that was dark. Now, in truth, there have been better and worse times and better and worse places to live in global history. I was reflecting on that this week as I sat in the dentist. And I have to say, I thought, wow, I am very, very grateful to live in the time after dental anesthetic. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Doesn't bear thinking about. But perhaps more seriously, be grateful you don't live in the Middle Ages in Europe at the time of the bubonic plague, which wiped out a third of the population. Be grateful you don't live in the Congo at the time of King Leopold's savage colonial tyranny. Be grateful you don't live in East Ukraine right now. There are better and worse times and places to live in human history, but it is a sad fact that everywhere there has always been a measure of darkness. Now, we Brits can be a grumpy lot. We can find the dark lining to the cloud around any silver lining. It's just a national characteristic of ours. But I think many of us are feeling that things are just pretty gloomy at the moment. I mean, economically, the latest YouGov poll tells me that over 50% of us think that we are much worse off after Rachel Reeves' budget. I was actually doing a carol service for a bank over in the city earlier this week. I mentioned Rachel Reeves, and it was like I'd said Voldemort inside Hogwarts. It was like, whoa, okay, sorry. But whatever your views of Rachel Reeves and how well she handled the cards she'd been dealt for the budget, it's undeniable most of us feel that things are pretty uncertain economically. They certainly don't look rosy. Socially, I think our culture feels more polarized and divided than I've ever known. One of the defining features of this year has been the sheer number of marches and protests and the levels of anger and hatred that have been expressed. Geopolitically, well, things really do look pretty scary at the moment. I mean, Vladimir Putin's advent gift to us was to torpedo a peace deal with Ukraine and say, I'm ready for war with Europe. I'm not sure he's going to buy the argument that since Brexit, we're not really part of Europe, Vladimir. I don't think that's how it works. And actually, just today, I guess most of us will have seen the news from Sydney. Hanukkah, which is the Jewish festival of lights, and a launch party on the beach for the festival of light plunged into the deepest darkness as terrorists shot 40 people driven by blind hatred of Jews. There is darkness in the world. And the sad thing is, of course, the darkness, it doesn't stop at the front doors of our houses and our places of work. We know the relational aggro, the family friction, the workplace disputes. And they point to a rather uncomfortable fact that the reason there's so much darkness in our world throughout history is that, well, to a greater or lesser extent, there is a little bit of darkness in each of us. As much as we present a well-presented face to the world, deep down there's a self-centeredness, certainly to me and to everybody I've ever met, that I want my own way. I want my desires, my decisions to decide what happens this Christmas. And if other people get in the way, then, well, sometimes we're willing to trample on them, certainly to use them to get what we want if push comes to shove. And when we get things wrong, oh, golly, I'm very quick to offer up excuses when it's me and ask for people to show some understanding. But when other people get it wrong, my goodness, how quick we can be to demand they be held to account. There is a problem. There is a darkness everywhere in our world. It's not as bad as it could be, but it's an undeniable feature of life. The question, though, comes, well, what do we do when we encounter the darkness, when we wake up to it? Now, as a child, it's pretty simple. You just pull up the duvet and shut your eyes because no monster invented has ever been able to penetrate a child's duvet. We all know that, right? I mean, you know, those tanks that don't seem to be working for the army, just cover them in duvets. I mean, it seems to work for children. But when you grow up as an adult, we don't hide under duvets, but we do basically have the same tactic. We look to hide away to escape from the darkness. We just use different duvets. Some of us, it's work, 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 so I never have to think about the darkness. Others of us, it's party, 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 and numb ourselves to the darkness. We escape. We hide. Or we just distract ourselves. We retreat to the unreality of Instagram or just fill our time with the mindless nonsense of short-form videos. Oh, golly, someone's created an AI-generated cat-based celebrity lookalikes doing K-pop dance routines. Wow, I must just spend the next half an hour watching it on loop. But I think this year, though, for all the different escapisms out there, this year nostalgia seems to be the main way that we seek to avoid what's in front of us. I mean, it was incredible. The way my generation collectively lost our minds over the Oasis reunion gig. Did you see this? The number of middle-aged dads with their bucket hats and parkas on going absolutely mad for it. It's like partying like it's 1990. And then the John Lewis Christmas ad. Again, it was all about nostalgia. It's the great cultural bellwether. It tells us where we're at. And this year, I'm sure you saw it, there's the dad, and he's given an LP of the 90s club hit, Where Love Lives, by his teenage son. and he puts on the record and shuts his eyes, and he's transported back to the carefree days of his youth, raving away to banging club anthems. Of course, the point at which the ad completely loses all touch with reality is when it shows the teenage son thrilled to find he's in the same nightclub as his dad. I mean, that is never going to happen. Darkness is a fact of life. And escapism in all its forms, it's a way of shutting my eyes to the darkness, of pretending it's not there. Escapism is about trying to ignore reality. But I've got something better to offer you this Christmas. See, the true message of Christmas is not an escape from the reality, not a shutting of our eyes to the darkness, but the invasion of hope into reality, the shining of light in the darkness. And the wonderful thing that John celebrates in his eyewitness account of the life of Jesus is that the light that shone out that Christmas is stronger than the darkness. The light is stronger than the darkness. Again, that verse, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, throughout human history, God has related to us by speaking to us, by using words. And so when John came to explain what it is that happened when God became the baby Jesus and joined us that first Christmas, he says, well, the word became flesh. The very first verse reads, the word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In other words, Jesus was not just a holy man who had a great experience of relationship with God and so can help us know God. Nor was he just a prophet who received words from God. No, he was and is God in human flesh. God the Creator tore open the fabric of reality that first Christmas and entered his creation as a creature. It's our greatest achievement as humanity that we've put our footprints on the moon. But it is the greatest marvel of all time that God has left his footprints here on earth. And that explains why it is that John says that the darkness cannot overcome the light. Because Jesus is God in human flesh. No greater power in all the cosmos could have come to help us that first Christmas than God himself. And when you read the eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus, the four Gospels, you find they record a succession of encounters between Jesus and totally hopeless situations. And yet every time, his light is stronger than the darkness. So he meets people struck down with leprosy or paralyzed and with utterly withered, useless legs. And he speaks a word and they're made whole. He encounters dark spiritual powers and it's the demons who quake and tremble with fear as he drives them out and liberates those who are oppressed. He meets a man named Zacchaeus, whose life was so utterly consumed by his love for money that he completely lost his moral compass and was despised by everyone who knew him. He meets a woman who is so completely enslaved by the need for validation from relationships that she's just bounced from marriage to marriage and man to man and is just shamed by her community. And yet, when Jesus meets them, he's able to take their guilt and take their shame. He's able to forgive them and transform them so they're set free from their greed and their toxic insecurity. The one time it does look like the darkness has triumphed over Jesus is when he's nailed to the cross by the corrupt religious leaders who he has challenged and then buried in a tomb. But even then, the darkness could not swallow him. 3 days later, as dawn broke on Easter Sunday, the light of the world burst out of the tomb. And Jesus lives. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Now, Barack Obama, golly, that takes us to a different era of politics, doesn't it? Do you remember? It feels like a very long time ago, a very different era when he was president. And when he was running for president, he wrote a couple of books, but one of them was called The Audacity of Hope. the audacity of hope. And there is something audacious, something brave, courageous about hope. Escapism just hides under the duvet and pretends there is no dark. Hope opens its eyes and believes that there is light. And the wonderful thing about the hope of Christmas, the light that comes at Christmas, is it doesn't require a leap in the dark, because the Word became flesh. Or to put it in different language, hope entered history. This is a hope that you don't have to take my word for it. Here is a hope you can examine, a hope you can read about in the four eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, written by people who were there at the time. You'll be given one on the way out, and I would encourage you to take the time, if you've never done so as an adult, to read them. 2,000 years of skepticism and scrutiny have been poured into these four gospel accounts, and yet they stand today as absolutely reliable. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This then is the good news of Christmas, the good news I offer you tonight, that no matter what darkness you face, Jesus' light shines brighter. It may be you'll face the darkness of a serious financial crisis, or the darkness of dysfunctional relationships, the darkness of a Christmas spent with a family going through bereavement or divorce, the darkness of seriously worrying health concerns, the darkness of mental health struggles that feel crippling, perhaps particularly at this time of year. The darkness of knowing I'm just not the person I wish I was. I know I should be, and other people think I am. The darkness of the guilt and the shame that we can feel about the things that we've said and done. Even the greatest darkness, the darkness of the fear of death. Jesus' light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. For Jesus died on a cross. And when he died on the cross, he died to take all the guilt and the shame that is ours, to absorb all the punishment we deserve, and to give us forgiveness if we will only trust in him. And he rose triumphant from the grave to give us hope in this life if we will only trust in him. Jesus came to bring you hope. Now, 15 years ago, the atheist provocateur Richard Dawkins launched his atheist bus. Do you remember this campaign, the atheist bus? So you hired this bus, and he had these adverts on it. There's probably no God now. Stop worrying and enjoy your life. And rather wonderfully, a bunch of adverts were then put up at bus stops around London a couple of weeks later, which said, there's probably no bus. Now stop worrying and enjoy your walk, which is... That's peak London, I think. I mean, genius, absolute genius. But Richard Dawkins was very much the cultural, you know, I mean, he was right on point at the turn of the millennium as a culture just got rid of God. My generation really has bequeathed to you the godless society. You're welcome. The church attendance, belief in God, I mean, statistics vary, but there's something like it fell by half in the first two decades of the 21st century. Extraordinary statistic. But it hasn't led to the smiling society, the happy, carefree, God-free society. In fact, quite the opposite. We find that anxiety, depression, and hopelessness are at epidemic levels, which is why things have changed culturally. The tide has shifted. So in the last 5 years, church attendance has gone up by, sorry, the last 7 years has gone up by 50%. As people are leaving Generation Godless, they're opening their eyes and looking up and finding there is light and there is hope. As they read the Bible, they're meeting Jesus and finding that there is hope in life. And because Jesus came as a baby that Christmas, I dare you to do the same. I dare you to look up. I dare you to find the light and the hope that Jesus offered. Because he came, there is hope. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you face, whatever you've done, there is hope because of Jesus. And because of Jesus, there's a reason to wish you all a very happy Christmas. Let me pray. Our Father God, we thank you that you came down to us in the person of Jesus that first Christmas to bring us hope, to shine your light into our darkness. We pray that whether we're very new to these things or very familiar with them, that this Christmas you would help us to understand, to experience for ourselves more of the light and the hope that Jesus brings. Amen.